Hello there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Don't Evolve Me. We got a really special episode for you today. It is a solo episode. It is just me and you, the listener. So hello. And we got a special episode. This is what I'm looking forward to this summer, because there's a lot of fun things coming out, including Borderlands. We got Acolyte, House of Dragons, Deadpool and Wolverine is the boys, along with many other things. So I made a list of all the things that I am looking forward to in order, and I'll be talking about every single one of those shows or movies. And this isn't really a summer preview episode, because I feel like I didn't do the work to make it a summer preview with all the information, but this is more just where my excitement level is at, what type of hype I'm feeling for each of these projects, and just what we should expect with these five TV shows or films. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm just going through the list and just talking about each and every single one of those shows, just telling you how I feel about it. And that's basically it. So let's do the thing. Cue the music. Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up. Hello, welcome. It is a solo episode today. This episode is all about me just talking about everything that's coming out this summer, at least in terms of TV shows and movies. I'm not that caught up in video games. I'm not quite sure what's coming out. And usually summer isn't like video game season. Typically, it's not video game season, but the last couple of years, you know, Last of Us Part 2, Baldur's Gate 3, among many other video games, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, like, they come out, but generally, it's not video game season. So this is just about TV shows and movies, and what five things that I am looking forward to. And I don't want to call it a preview, because I feel like it's this, it's not a preview of the sorts of like, I'm going to present all this information to you guys, because I'll be honest, I haven't done the work to really know everything about these shows. I haven't looked exclusively, done the research or rewatched all these shows, but more or less, I'm going to take the base knowledge that I have, all the trailers that I've watched of all the, just the base knowledge that we kind of all just generally have about these shows and what my excitement level is for each and one of these shows / movies. And kind of just talk about from there about how I'm feeling about it, why I'm excited, why am I not excited, and just generally what the hype, what it means for it to be, if it was a good project or if it's a bad project, what it's going to be moving forward, and just kind of have that general discussion. But before we do all that, let's get into the intro stuff, right? What am I nerding out on? Usually what I do in the beginning of my shows. So, it's been almost a year journey. It's been like 9 months. One Piece is kind of like a mainstay in my household. It's like one of the main shows that we watch. We just throw it on for a quick 20 minutes, and it's been a great ride so far. If you haven't checked out One Piece, please do. It's a great show. If you don't know where to start or how to jump in, just watch the Netflix live adaptation. It's a great adaptation. It just gives you a really good feel for what One Piece is, and kind of gives you a good idea of whether or not you should go into it. So I'm at One Piece. I am episode 697, I believe. We are in Dressrosa. We're going against Doflamingo. I don't think that is spoiler per se, but yeah, it's a really good ride. It's a great arc, kind of slowly going through it, making our way through Wano. Once we get to Wano, then I'm going to bring Ro on and we're going to talk about it. But yeah, One Piece is, I've been saying that for like every week now since September. Cause it's a great show. It's a great show to just watch, throw on 20 minutes here and there. Great show. Other stuff, Fallout 4, Fallout Shelter. Ever since the Fallout show came out, that is something that I've just been on and off playing, especially Shelter. Cause it's an easy thing to play while watching other shows and prepping for this podcast. But yeah, Fallout 4, been playing here and there, been playing more of a melee build for my character. I'm usually more of a range fighter, so but slowly getting into it. It's hard to do all the things when you're a parent as well as a podcaster trying to keep up on everything. So other things I've been doing, nerding out on The Boys. I have started rewatching that as well as House of Dragons. I'll talk about more of that later on. But yeah, I've been watching season one so far of The Boys. Almost made it through. That show is so great. Like, I forget. I feel like I've been watching so many superhero shows, and there's a lot of, like, not, I don't want to say mediocre, but just good superhero shows, just good superhero stuff in general lately. And watching The Boys, I just realized, just the first episode, I'm like, I forget how great The Boys is and how refreshing it just is in general. It's a fun watch. So I'm excited to talk about it, and I'm really excited for season four. Moving on, D&D. I've been playing a new campaign with Tom. We talked about this last week. Started a nautical adventure, very much One Piece pirate, but more not exactly the same. Been playing a character named Slom. He is a Triton monk. Might make him a waterbender, monk, sorcerer. We will see. It's a lot of fun. It's the first time I ever played like D&D, not for entertainment, not for the show. Just playing it just for me. And it's fun. It's a really fun experience that I've just been really, I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to get into just a normal game. And yeah, but I will say this, going from Turlo to a more serious character, and if you guys haven't checked out my D&D episodes where I do Turlo Rolo Edwards the Third Esquire, he's a very like silly character where he's just kind of going off his ADHD inclinations. It's basically just the extreme version of me. You know, like if I see something shiny or something that I would want to do, I really want to do it, and I get really into character, whereas this character is more serious. So it's a weird like trade-off between, like, you know, there was a situation where we're on the water and like this woman comes out of the water and starts like trying to get us to jump in the water. I'm a fish boy, I'm a Triton, and I'm like, man, Turtle would jump in without any hesitations. It would be like fish titties or something like that along the line. Or this character is more serious and just like, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't want anything to do with that. So it's weird playing different characters. And I did that on purpose because, like, I want the whole experience, you know? So a lot of fun. I've been poking around a little bit. And I definitely said poking around as... been poking around with Pokemon D&D. It's one of those things I've been toying around with for the last few weeks or so. Been playing a couple sessions with my son, who he's not even 5 yet. Has like no attention span. So it's hard to play. Spend a couple hours getting the session ready for him, and then we'll play together. And after like a half hour, he's like, Daddy, can I be done? And I'm like, let's get through this section first. So it's hard to play a game where you're just like, man, just play the game, you know? So, but no, a lot of fun. I might do something Pokemon D&D related for this channel, at least YouTube, or otherwise we will see. I'm working through the kinks and whether or not if it's worth it. So moving forward, let's get into the news.
It's time for a news quickie.
All right, lots of news, but we'll go through it quickly, and hopefully it won't be too long, hence the name. News quickie. All right, Vision, a new show, is in the work taking place after WandaVision to tell the story of what Vision has done since the show WandaVision. And I guess, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know, skip a minute or two ahead. And last we seen Vision, he was... White Vision, he was recreated in the body of Vision, and we kind of get a blank personality. And I'm trying to describe what the two Visions talk, and the White Vision runs away. Now they're making a show, which makes sense. I think Vision's a big enough character where people would be interested in. I will say this, and we will talk about this more too. Whenever I hear the rumors of a new show, it's hard for me to get excited. So. But Vision is coming out, hopefully, maybe, I don't know, we'll see. But I do think it makes sense for a Vision show or a Vision movie, maybe. At least, like, you should be involved with it, right? Makes sense. Speaking of movies, Kraven. New producer talked about why Kraven the movie was delayed from August to December. It was supposed to come out last year, but I think amidst writers and actor strikes, it got moved to August and then now is delayed even further to December 2025. We will see if this movie is even worth going to theaters for. I'll be honest, I haven't seen Madam Web, and I haven't actually seen Morbius. I feel guilty a little bit for that, but I have no desire after looking at the ratings and people saying, wow, these movies suck. So we will see if Sony can produce something that's decent. I guess Venom's the best thing they've produced so far, but we'll see. More news. The Las Vegas Spear has announced that it will be projecting pictures of One Piece for, I believe, the 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary of One Piece itself. I really would want to go to Las Vegas just to see it. Like, I was tempted to be like, can I afford a Las Vegas trip for a weekend just to see it? Because I would, you know what? I'm a big enough fan at this point where I might go to Las Vegas for it. Yet, my wife makes fun of me because I do not want to have a tattoo of it yet. But I feel like that's a big commitment for someone who doesn't have any tattoos. Another news involving the spear. There are fans trying to raise money to put Mr. House on the spear itself. Apparently, they need $125,000, and they only got $3,000. And I'll be honest, for the people who own the spear, just put them on. Just put it on for free, because you know what? Mr. House is a Vegas staple. He is iconic. He is cultural. When the new Fallout season comes on, just do it for free. Or Amazon. It's a pretty good promotional tool if you put Mr. House on there. Just saying. Moving on. There are rumors that that Disney is working on another show. Not just Vision, but Star Wars, The Old Republic. And again, every time Disney announces a show, I'm kind of just like, and I'll talk about more of that with The Acolyte. But The Old Republic, I feel, and even with The Acolyte 2, there's something there I feel like could be big. So if this show works out, I'd be interested. We'll see. All right. Lots of news. Last of Us. A couple news. A lot of photos drop, if you haven't noticed it. If you haven't seen the photos yet. Joel. There's pictures of Joel from the game. And pretty big spoiler alert, but if you know, you know, and it shows a scene, not the scene that I'm talking about. If you know, you know, but the day before scene, they released a photo of him, as well as they released the photo of Diana. Is it Diana or Diane? Or is it Dana? Ellie and her friend on a horse in Seattle, and it looks great, as expected. Also, they have confirmed the range for Last of Us release date. It is early 2025, as many of us predicted. So, good news. Speaking of news, for release dates and ranges, Pokemon Legends Z-A. It's confusing. There is rumors that it's going to be late 2025 when it comes out. Which I think for those who are really wanting to play it, bad news. But for those like myself, like my friend and colleague Michael, we're okay if Pokemon waits and takes its time with it. Because really, they need to give us a better game. Better games moving forward. More polished games. But we'll see. But yeah, Pokemon Legends Z-A, I believe that's the title. Late 2025. And last little bit of news. I don't know if anyone cares about this except for me. Pokemon Pops. You can see it on the photo. You see a little bit of my Pokemon Pops. I have everything so far that's come out. I keep seeing photos of Gen 4 Legends. Cresselia. Dialga. Arceus. I don't know where they are, but I need them in my life. But there is also more news. Greninja is coming out. Snubbull is coming out. Chimchar is coming out real soon, as well as the biggest rumor that Gengar, yes, the Gengar, will finally have a pop soon. We will see. All right. That's the news. All right. Let's get into it. So before I get into my top five, and I don't really have much more than five, but I did want to throw out some honorable mentions for things that I'm looking forward to, or things that other people might be looking forward to that I am not. So first things first, The Bear season 3. I have not watched The Bear. I just hear that it's really, really good from people, from critics, from everywhere. And so I'm going to throw it as an honorable mention because it deserves its place. It's getting good. People talk about it a lot. They talk about The Bear. And it's one of those shows that's it's on my radar. It's on my list. I'm curious to see if this season's still great. Because if it is, I might have to join the hype for season 4 if that comes out next summer. So honorable mention, The Bear season 3. Also honorable mention, The Quiet Place day 1. I have watched both The Quiet Place 1 or part 1, part 2. Really good movie. I really like the visual, the not the visual, but the audio quality to the sound. Like, just it's something different. It's fresh in the terms of like the way the movie is constructed. Excuse me. At least when in terms of like the quiet of it, like you really have to watch it in a quiet spot or a quiet place to enjoy the film. But it's just really cool how they do it, because when the noise hits, boom, there's this immediate rush. So I really do like The Quiet Place, and I am excited for day 1. That's one of those movies I might go to the theater to see. But it's not, in terms of like nerdy stuff I'm looking forward to, it's just like not on my radar of like one of those things I really want to talk to. It's just I'm interested in the lore, I'm interested in the story, but it's not super high on my list. Another one I was going to put on my list, but I realized it just came out, Furiosa, Mad Max. I've watched Mad Max Fury Road. I watched it in theaters. I haven't watched it really since. It's one of those films, when you watch it in theaters, it is just great. Like, I would probably give it at least a 4+, if not a 5-, if not a 5, because that movie is just one of the better movies, at least visually. And so I'm interested in Mad Max Furiosa just for my own entertainment. As far as this show, I might talk about it when I ever go see it. But yeah, it's not one of those movies that's on my list or radar, because I didn't realize it just came out anyway. But definitely worth an honorable mention. Other honorable mentions, kids movies, Inside Out 2 and Despicable Me 4. If you are a parent, you know. If you know, you know. Kids love those movies. Kids get into those movies. That's something the kids get excited for. So honorable mention for it. And then two other movies that I have as honorable mentions. Twisters, because the first sequel for the movie Twister, even though it's really not a sequel, hard to make a movie that is a sequel for 20 years after the fact, on top of the fact that there's none of the original characters. But anyway, culturally speaking, Twisters, the sequel, it's one of those movies I'm going to keep an eye out on, but not necessarily something I'm like really dying to watch. Last movie on the list, Alien Romulus. Again, nerd-wise, nerd culture, not super high. But I have been watching in the last like couple of years, two years or so. You can see the Xenomorph on my shelf here. I've been getting into Alien, and it's one of the first like 4 movies, or at least the 3 movies. It's one of the most interesting trilogies of all time, because there's like every movie has a really good director. And I really like the style that each movie goes for, but it doesn't quite like blend. So I don't know. The more I watch Alien movies, the more it's just like, it's a weird added, I don't know. It's a weird franchise that like has some really good movies, but some movies are just trash. I don't know how I feel about another Alien Romulus movie, but it's on my radar, right? It's in the honorable mentions. So those are my honorable mentions. So let's get into my top 5. Starting with Number five, Borderlands. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not a huge Borderlands fan. But it's on my list. Not because I needed five. Not because four sounds bad. Top four things I'm looking forward to. Top five does sound better. But this whole argument of superheroes versus video games is one of the reasons why I put this movie on the list. That, and I haven't played Borderlands 1 or 2, but I have played Borderlands 3. I have played Borderlands pre-sequel. Me and Brandon had like a whole weekend where we just played that game and got to the point where we were pretty close to beating it. So I know a little bit about Borderlands. I remember Lilith. I remember Roland. Tiny Tina is something I remember. I am blanking on Handsome Jack, I believe, as the villain in Claptrap. Remember him, because he's a playable character in the pre-sequel. It's an interesting universe. It's an interesting tell. It reminds me of Mad Max a lot. Speaking of Mad Max, it reminds me of, just watching the trailer, it reminds me of Dungeons and Dragons. In fact, like, you have this weird team with like that does, every character does these different things. Like, it feels well constructed in that way. It's a movie that I am interested to see. It's one that I want to see in theaters. It's one that I want to talk about. But I also just want to know, if this movie is a hit, if this movie just like explodes, not just definitely financially, but as well as critically, then I am pretty much convinced that we're already going to see a surge in video game adaptations after Fallout, after The Last of Us. But man, if Borderlands also hits, then it's just like double down confirmation that we're going to go for a run of video game adaptations in the next 5 years or so. So I'm just really curious to see if this movie does take off, if this movie does become a big cultural factor for us nerds, and if it's going to be something that we talk about for a while. My hype and expectations for it, I feel like this movie will be a 3+. I have hopes that it's going to be a good movie, that we're debating if it's going to be great. I have Mario around the 3+ area. I think it's one of those movies, but like Mario culturally wise and successfully wise is like a 4+ for movie studios. They don't care if it's that good or great. It's Mario. People are going to put a Mario just to see Mario. Borderlands doesn't necessarily have that. Like, it has to be a good movie, because if it's not a good movie, it's going to become Mortal Kombat, where the latest Mortal Kombat, where it's like, yeah, it's fine. It's a fine watch, but it's not really rememberable. It's not one of those, meh. But we got some interesting actors as these characters. Cate Blanchett looks like she is ready to rock as the lead. Kevin Hart as Roland is weird, but he's entertaining. He's funny. He has great screen presence. So it's, to me, I think it's kind of like a wash. Like, all right, Jack Black's Claptrap. Jack Black in anything is great at this point. I'm interested to see how he's going to play his Claptrap. Claptrap is just he's the humor. He is the comedy relief character. Jack Black plays that character perfectly. Just in general, he has that skill. I'm blanking on is it Adriana Greenlaw as Tiny Tina? She looked interesting as a character. Jamie Lee Curtis, as always, is a great ad. Like, this movie looks fun. This movie looks enjoyable. It looks visually pleasing. It looks fun. I think this movie is going to be very much D&D. Dungeons & Dragons Among Thieves. I think this is where my expectations is for this movie. I think this movie is going to do well. I think it's going to be a good movie, possibly a borderline great movie. I don't know if this movie culturally is going to be talked about a lot. I think it's going to be smaller in that scale. I don't think it's going to like take over for a week. But we'll see. I mean, if this movie is amazing, if this movie is great, we will see if there will be a run. I don't foresee this movie taking over that conversation that, oh, video game adaptations are here. But if it is a financial success, at least at the bare minimum, we're going to see a run. And that's where my hype level is for this movie. This is just what's going to happen with the industry if this movie is another success for success for video game adaptations. But yeah, just as a fan of video games in general, I hope it's great. It looks like a fun film. It's a fun game. It's one of those fun games where you just play as friends, grab a hold. Come on, we're playing together. You're going to be this character. I'm going to be this character. You're going to be Tiny Tina. I'm going to be Roland. You're going to be Lilith. It's a great time. And this film does embody that just great time hanging out with friends. So I'm excited. We'll see where this goes. But yeah, Borderlands. It's number five on my list. Number four on my list is Star Wars The Acolyte. And man, I really want to enjoy this show or like be more hyped for the show than I am. And I'll be honest, I am getting more hyped as I'm watching more YouTube trailers, as I'm watching the trailers like more as we get closer, the more hyped I'm getting. But I'll be honest, I wasn't that excited for the show up until this point. And I've been asking myself as I was prepping for this episode, why that's the case. Why am I not that hyped on The Acolyte? Why is this number four on my list? Because I feel like this show should be a lot higher on the pecking order. It's Star Wars. It's Star Wars in a new era. For those who don't know what The Acolyte is about, it takes place in the era of the High Republic. Basically, when the Republic was at its peak. When the Jedi were at its peak. And the plot synopsis of this movie, or I should say the plot synopsis. Wow, I'm struggling. The plot synopsis of this show is we're at the peak of the High Republic. We're at the peak of the Jedi Order. And something or someone is killing the Jedi. And if you watch the trailers, you notice that there is a former Padawan who is attacking the Jedi. And the last little bit of the trailer, there is a dark figure in a pretty scary mask. Like, it looks very xenomorph. Maybe I'm just saying it because I already mentioned xenomorph, but it looks like a xenomorph with the lightsaber. Mask-wise, not body-wise. And the trailer is appealing once I, like, as I rewatched it, I'm like, okay. This reminds me of the Old Republic, and I also just read an article where they were, the producer, the showrunner, was talking about the show and how the Old Republic was kind of the, not motivation, but it's kind of the, like, the influence, right? It's the thing that inspired it. That's what I was looking for. The inspiration. It's the inspiration of the show. The villain or the character that is, like, the antagonist of the show is very Darth Tarth from the second one. The second game. I haven't played the games. I've bought the first one, Knights of the Old Republic. I wanted to play it. I got into it a little bit, but then kind of faded away. You know, I don't finish video games often. But this show overall, my hype for it is low. And I don't think it's the show itself. I don't really think it's the premise, because after relearning the premise, after kind of like rewatching it, kind of getting more into it, I'm starting to get more hype for it. Because the premise itself is interesting. It's a murder mystery with Star Wars. It's a murder mystery with Sith killing Jedi. In an era that is completely new, the producer is very much saying, hey, this is my story. This is, I picked this era of Star Wars because it doesn't have much to do with the lore itself. Like, it's brand new lore. And that's exciting because it's this open sandbox for a young showrunner to take over and just make their own story. And I think that's one of the best ways you could do stories. If you have to fit something in the box, you have to be very good, talented, and like, it just has to work well. You have to nudge it in, you know. Whereas when it's an open sandbox, you can kind of just make your own thing and you don't have to work so hard to fit it into the larger story. So I feel like I should be a lot more excited for The Acolyte than I really am. And I think the reason why I'm not as exciting is just the past of Disney Plus. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, I'm not that excited for a Disney Plus show at this point. And I feel like it's almost unfair for Star Wars. I know if I added my friend Brandon, he was originally was going to maybe be a part of this episode. I know he'd be like, oh, Star Wars shows suck. That would be his response. Star Wars, of course it sucks. The shows suck. And I'm like, that's actually not the case. This is going to be the sixth show. And remember that it's the sixth show, because I feel like that has something to play. Like, I think that is a major part of why I'm not as interested. But if you look over the track record of Disney Plus Star Wars shows, right? Mandalorian. It's, for me, I rate it as like a 4 plus, at least the first two seasons. The third season's not bad. It's just, it's good, but the quality of writing went down. Visually wise, still great. It, for me, is like a 4. It's a great show. Basically, it's a great show. So it's not Mandalorian. Mandalorian was great. Then you look at Book of Boba Fett. Not the greatest. Not much to write home about. It's one of those shows where Book of Boba Fett, the first couple episodes with Boba Fett, it's like, yeah, it's all right. It's worth a watch, right? At least once. It's worth a watch. Rewatch, I haven't rewatched it yet. Haven't felt the need for it. I have rewatched the Mandalorian episodes, though. And it got good again. It basically was Mandalorian season 2.5. Like, that's basically what Book of Boba Fett was. When you just take the Mandalorian parts, those parts were great. The show itself, I would say, it's kind of meh. Ahsoka was the one that recently just came out. That show was, I don't want to say okay. The show was good. It was like borderline great. There was a lot of great moments in that show. Overall, it was like a good to great show. I forget exactly what I rated it. I think 4- was about right. Maybe I gave it a 4. But it's a 3+, 4- area for Ahsoka. There was a lot of great moments for it. And I think, well, maybe it was Obi-Wan, right? Because a lot of people were hyped for Obi-Wan. The show rematch of Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader. And that show, it wasn't awful, but it wasn't good. It was one of those shows that's like, why are you telling the story? You know, it wasn't a great story to tell. It seems like you're just making a show to make money. And that's what it came off of. Came off as Darth Vader versus Obi-Wan. Didn't really feel earned. It felt, it's just one of those shows that it existed to make money. It was existed because the fans wanted it. We demanded it for so long. They're like, we'll finally give it to you. But there was no soul into it, right? So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm not excited for The Acolyte because of Obi-Wan and Book of Boba Fett. But then I'm like, but Andor came out. Andor is great. Andor is not just great. Andor is like elite. Andor is so elite that I feel like it's not even a Star Wars show. That's how amazing it is. It's spectacular writing. If you haven't watched it yet, please do. It is wonderful. It does take a lot to get into, though. It is very much a slow burn show, but once you get into it and appreciate it and realize like what the show is about, it is amazing. And so if you look at the track record, you have The Mandalorian, or if you look at the track record, you have two shows that are kind of meh in Book of Boba Fett and Obi-Wan. But then you have Ahsoka, at least it's good, right? It's in the good category. You have Mandalorian that's in the great category, and you have Andor that's elite. So if you look at the track record, on average, every show is like at least good, almost great. So it's not that. It's not the fact that Star Wars can't make a good TV show. They are making good TV shows. I think it's just the abundance, right? I don't know if The Acolyte is being made because it's a story worth being told, or if it's being made because it's Star Wars. I don't know. But after rewatching the trailer, I'm getting a little bit more hype for it, right? I know that there's a lot of criticism about the antagonist, the former Padawan, for how she looks with the dreads, and I'm not really about that. To me, I'm like, it's a character that we don't know shit about. I have no idea if I'm going to like this character. I think aesthetically, the idea of a former Padawan going against the Jedi Order is intriguing. It's not necessarily original, but intriguing. And the trailer that I watched is, I think, the first trailer where the Padawan, and they actually released the scene a little bit more too recently, where it's the protagonist versus the Jedi Master versus his former Padawan, and they're fighting, and the guy asks, why aren't you fighting with weapons? This is interesting. And watching that little bit of footage, the choreography looks great. It reminds me of, you know, martial arts, more Japanese, like traditional martial arts movies. Stylistically, it looks great. The effects look pretty damn good, about on par as mostly Star Wars TV shows. I'm just not, I don't know. I think like this is one of those shows where it, I think this is the Disney Plus effect. I think we've just gotten so many shows, either from Marvel, whether it's Marvel or Star Wars, and a lot of these shows are kind of just meh. They're kind of just being made for people to watch. And that doesn't sound like a big deal, right? Like, of course people are going to make shows for people to watch, but like, it's not made for the love. But after hearing what the showrunner said, I have a little bit more faith. I hope the show is good. I hope I watch the first two episodes and it's at least a 3+, if not a 4-. Like, I'm hoping for a 4. I hope I rate these first two episodes as a 4 when it comes out. I will be doing a short review, at least a demi on it. So I think it's interesting. I hope this show is great. I have high hopes for it, but it's just low on my pecking order. I'm not that excited. I'm more scared that it's just going to be a meh show. But we will see. It's a new era of Star Wars. New person, new showrunner, a new face, I believe. Should double look before I say new, but I don't recognize them. So we'll see. The Acolyte is number 4 for me. We will see if it'll be good. But there is one, before I know, because I'm looking at my notes here. There is one potential intrigue with the show, because I do feel like the show has potential to be big. And maybe not big, but I think the show does have a chance. If it is a great show, and they bring this villain, likewise the Wise, which is the rumor villain, and it would make sense timeline-wise. It's only 200 years back beforehand. Sith have been known to prolong their life. If this is the villain, and this connects to the prequels, and there's nothing really in between, I'm just high hopes here. I hope it's great. We will see. All right. Number 4 is The Acolyte. Let's move on. Number 3 on my list is House of Dragons, the Game of Thrones prequel show, spinoff show, where the first season, I didn't have much hopes for it, I guess. It wasn't that I didn't think it was going to be good or quality. I think at the point I was just with Game of Thrones, kind of just tired of, I wouldn't say tired. It was more just, I was disappointed by the ending of Game of Thrones and where it kind of led to. Because it was an elite show. It was such an amazing show. Like season 1 through 4 was elite. Season 5 and 6 were kind of like in that great territory. And then it just fell apart. Man, I'm struggling tonight. Game of Thrones disappointed me to the point where I almost didn't want to go back to this world. And which is sad because, like, the world itself is intriguing. There's so much history, lore. The world itself, the way it's, like, shaped is exciting. Like, I actually really want to see more. For my birthday, I got the Game of Thrones Risk. And it's cool just taking out the maps and just looking at the map of the world. It's really interesting lore. And so when House of Dragons came up, the first season, and I remember just watching it, and there wasn't a whole lot of hype for season 1. I think everybody's kind of like the same atmosphere in the same realm where it comes like the hype of House of Dragons. We're like, we'll see how it is. If it's good, we'll check it out. And I remember just watching the first season, and it was kind of the first, like, it reminded me of the first 4 seasons of Game of Thrones, except it was like accelerated, and not so much in its accelerated like season 7 and season 8 of Game of Thrones, because season 7, season 8, they just like jumped ahead where things just didn't make sense, you know, like Jon Daenerys, you know, spoiler alert for Game of Thrones, I don't know how much of a spoiler I need since it came out like 5 years ago, but like, Jon Daenerys, they're just, hey, we're in love. Hey, we're lovers. Hey, we're at quarrel. And, you know, all this, the thing that happened to him at the end was supposed to be significant, but it's like we didn't have enough time. It didn't feel earned. Nothing that happened in the first 2 seasons felt earned. Whereas House of Dragons kind of did this thing where they took the first, like, 30, 40 years of Rhaenyra's, I am like blinking on the main protagonist, the girl. It took like the first like 30 or 40 years of this girl's life, and they just time skipped like each episode. And there's these mysteries of like the political landscape of the Targaryens. The dad, the king, he becomes king when his wife was like next in the throne, but they named him king. He became king. He can't get a son. And in an attempt to get a son, he had a son born, but in order to get a son, he had to kill his wife. This is spoilers for season one. And it just turned into this thing. He's just trying to get an heir for this throne. He does have children. He does have a daughter who more in like more is seems like she's more than capable of handling that role, but also wants that role later on in the show. And we see that all these other figures are trying to work themselves towards this king and trying to put their family on top of being heirs to the throne. Everyone's trying to get the throne. It is very much Game of Thrones, but for the Targaryens. And seeing it all fall apart at the end, as there's two factions within the family ready to take the throne, for me at least, it was just politically engaging. And the time skips just, it just seemed like it just fast forwarded to the very more interesting parts of the show and just focused mostly on the family and then a little bit outward. There is a war that's going on in the Narrow Seas where the king's brother ends up going there and taking care of it. He has relations with his niece. I won't go into detail, too much spoiler territory there. But it ends with the king having a son with another mom. And then the king's firstborn, the daughter, those two factions fighting it out for the throne. And now we're in season two, where the whole story is about the civil war for Westeros. And it's engaging seeing where all these other families, other locations, how it goes into it. And I have a feeling that this season is really going to put House of Dragons on the landscape. I'm not getting too hyped because I don't know if it will. But I feel like there isn't like a show that everyone's like aboard, like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad. I don't really recall. Fallout probably is the last like great thing that everybody was really on. Last of Us is up there too. But nothing like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad. And if House of Dragons, kind of like Better Call Saul, if it can somehow up the ante for season two and just really be this like the show that Game of Thrones was, along with like the political thriller, along with the moments of excitement, I can see it taking off. But I feel like it's an unfair like pedestal to put House of Dragons, because in its own, it is a great show. It's like a 4-4 of a show. It is fun to watch, but it's not necessarily the most engaging, where Game of Thrones is like, here, let me span the world. House of Dragons is very more focused on the family. And then it goes outward. So we'll see where it goes. I know that George R. R. Martin wrote a book on it that they're kind of like more, they're putting more story than the book had itself. So it's hard to tell where exactly House of Dragons is going, but it's up there. It's ahead of The Acolyte, because The Acolyte just, I didn't have that interest for House of Dragons. I'm like, I can really see this show just upping up the ante, upping up a notch, where the Civil War is just brutal, but just so great to watch. So we will see. It's number 3 on my list. I'm excited for it. I will do a review on it when it's done, just explaining how I feel about season 2. I am rewatching season 1. It's more of a slow. I'm more focused on the boys at the moment, but we'll get there. I think House of Dragons is later in June. So that's like the 3rd on the list. But yeah, number 3 show that I'm hyped for, or show/film that I'm hyped for, is House of Dragons. Number 2 on my list is Deadpool and Wolverine. And man, this almost should be number 1. I'm getting more hyped for this movie the more we're getting into it. The more we're getting, the closer we get, my excitement goes up, because the more things I hear about this show, the more trailers, the more posters, I'm excited for Deadpool and Wolverine. I really hope, like, I don't want to get too excited. Maybe this is the Minnesota sports fan in me, where I just expect failure. Speaking of which, go Wolves tonight. Game one. Or of the Western Conference Finals, to be exact. Game one. I know. By the time this comes out, it's going to be at least game four. So hopefully we're doing good. But I don't know. But the Minnesota sports fan, I mean, maybe says Deadpool and Wolverine. I don't want this movie to suck. Because if this movie sucks, the MCU might be done. And that's where the MCU is at. If this movie just is horrible, I don't see how anyone can get excited for Marvel again. At least anytime soon. But I don't feel like that's going to be the case. Because I think this movie is going to just... I think this movie is going to be amazing. I have a feeling that this movie is going to be at least a 4-. But I really hope this movie is going to be a 4+. I keep hearing all these different rumors, and we're kind of getting this rumor game that it reminds me of almost Endgame, where it's just like, what can happen? And the trailers that came out recently have really like made us think that there's a possibility that this movie might be absolutely fucking wild. Like, absolutely wild. Because it's taking the Fox universe, and there's so many rumors of, like, Elektra's going to show up in it, Magneto is going to show up in it, that all these, I mean, Hugh Jackman Wolverine is going to be in this movie, which is, like, huge itself. It's not just a Deadpool movie, it's a Deadpool Wolverine movie. So, there's this, all these different factors, all these different characters that could possibly in this movie where it's going to be huge. But I don't want to do this Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness type of theory where we overhype all the cameos that could be in this movie, and then the actual story itself is just underwhelming. And I think the movie's a 3+. And I think that's where I'm balancing between Deadpool and Wolverine. I don't want to hype this movie more than what it is, because this movie might not be Endgame. But, I mean, they also are literally calling Deadpool Marvel Jesus. And he kind of is the figure that might save the MCU. We will see with this movie. There's so many, like, the trailer itself, just the hinting that, like, the death of, like, 20th Century Fox, how they have it in the background, all these other, like, former characters, Colossus, Teenage Negasonic Mutant. No, did I just say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but try to, I don't remember what her name is. But all the past characters from the Deadpool movies, Vanessa, all those characters, on top of the possibility of, like, what characters are in from Marvel that's going to be in this. I mean, there's rumors that Captain America Chris Evans is going to be in this movie. There's rumors that Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man is going to be in this movie. There's rumors that, I mean, we already seen in the trailer that Ant-Man, at least the skull of Ant-Man, is going to be in this movie, as well as a Doctor Strange-like portal. So the possibilities of this movie are kind of endless, as well as, like, it's supposed to be this crossover of universes where the TVA itself takes Deadpool and he's trying to save it. And we don't really know at all what the story is, but we know the potential is there. It's rated R. It is Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, probably one of the greatest actors to characters for superhero movies. Hugh Jackman Wolverine is just iconic. And we have these two best friends in the movie where these two characters are going to play off each other really well. The Deadpool Wolverine dynamic is entertaining, interesting, and these guys seem like they're doing it for the love of it. I mean, Hugh Jackman literally came out of, like, Wolverine retirement to do this movie because he wants to do it with Ryan Reynolds. Like, I don't know how this movie's going to fail. I don't. I think this movie's going to be great. And by the sooner we get to this movie, I think the more hype we're going to get to it. I'm just very cautious, because if this movie sucks, or this movie is just a 3+, it's going to be disappointing. And it could kill the Marvel. It could kill the MCU. It could kill Marvel. Or, just like the trailer says, Deadpool could be Marvel Jesus and save it. We will see. My expectations for this, I think it's going to be a 4-, if not a 4. I think that's where my expectations are. I hope it's a 5. If this movie's a 5, baby, we're back. The MCU is back. We are in. They are reset. I will say, all the interviews of Kevin Feige, and we talk about this in other episodes, But Kevin Feige and some other producers, it sounds like they've learned their lesson. I don't know if they have or if they haven't. We will see. Really, I just want to see the actions. I want to see what they're going to put out. And the only thing they're really going to put out is Deadpool and Wolverine. There is Agatha. It was her all along. I forget exactly what the title is. Agatha All Along. I think that's the title of it. We will see if that show is any good. I feel like that show has been in development hell forever now. And she's just a character that I don't know if any of us really asked for an Agatha TV show. You know, like, we will see. But Deadpool Wolverine, we've been asking that for 15 years, guys. Like, we got it Wolverine Origins, but Deadpool and Wolverine has been something we've been wanting. Hugh Jackman Wolverine and Ryan Reynolds Deadpool on screen in full-out comic book accurate costumes. Like, this is what we wanted. And we wanted them in the MCU. So I really hope this movie just, like, it's rated R, so hopefully you're just going for it. Like, they're just letting loose. They are doing what they want, whatever they want to it, and they're just adding a bunch of cameos, as well as telling an amazing story. We will see. It's number two on my list. It really could be number one, and I honestly, by the time we get to Deadpool and Wolverine, it might be up here higher than my number one choice, but as of right now, my number one choice, I think, is deserving. So let's get into it. My number one show / movie that I am excited for this summer of 2024, is season 4 of The Boys. Yes, The Boys. This has become the show of nerd culture. This is like the pinnacle. This is, at least for me speaking, I don't know if culturally we're there yet. We're on its way. I don't know if we'll ever get there, because I think we're kind of done with superheroes, but I think this is, for me, this is like the next Game of Thrones. This is like the next big show that I'm just like, I can't wait till it's out. I want to see it. I want to know what happens in this universe. And that is The Boys, especially where we left off with The Boys season 3, as well as Gen V, because Homelander essentially getting permission to be himself in public, on top of the fact that getting permission to, spoiler alert, of season 1 through 3 in Gen V. Spoiler alert. Just end it now. Don't listen to it anymore. I'm not getting too deep in the spoilers, but like I can't talk about my hype level without talking about spoilers. So we're going to get into it now. The fact that Homelander has the freedom to essentially act how he wants to act in public and kill whoever is seemingly having that permission, because he, like, that's scary. That's scary. That's deadly. That's like shit gone nuclear, right? So just, I wanted to see the after effects of season 3, where he just had a big battle with Soldier Boy. They all banded together to fight Homelander. Then they had to fight Soldier Boy. Homelander kills a person, a protester, seemingly because he's defending his son. He kills him with his beams. Everybody cheers. It's like, I just want to see him defend that action. I want to see everybody else defend that action. I want to see the world react to this reality and see where Homelander takes it. Because Homelander is one of the most, like, is he the most interesting villain in a while? Like, Homelander might be one of the best villains of all time. And I don't say that lightly. Like, I have Darth Vader, like, right there. He's on that list. Dr. Doom is right next to him, right? Those two are great villains. I know Dr. Doom, screen-wise, not a great villain. But, like, he should be. Darth Vader is up there. But Homelander, just the way, I think Anthony Starr, I believe that's the actor's name, the way he plays him, the way he's written, he's just, you never know what Homelander is going to do. He's very much like the Joker in the regard of, like, you don't know what he will do on screen. You know that he has, like, a very low morale, but you also know that he wants to be liked. And so it's like the environment that he is in his ever evolving. It's ever changing. He would murder everyone in the room if he could get away with it. And that dynamic is just so, right? Any scene he's in, it's just like, what is he going to do? Who is he going to kill? Like, he's killed so many people just randomly. He's one character. We haven't talked about the other characters or the other plot lines. Gen V has introduced a superhero virus that could wipe off all superheroes. The boys have another weapon that can take them out. Victoria Newman, I think, is going for vice president in here. There's a whole presidential election where superheroes could take more power. Homelander himself maybe could take more power. I would not be surprised if he's like, I'm going to run for president. Like, that's just gold. I expect it to happen because it's too interesting for it not to happen. Like, if Homelander can have the country as well as, like, the superpowers and permission to kill in public, like, that is diabolical. That is, like, candy. That's gold. That is cinema. And it's on TV. Going back to Victoria Newman and the disease and her power herself, just the idea of a superhero. I don't know if she's antagonist or a protagonist. We don't really know yet. She kind of plays both sides. I mean, anti-hero, I think, is the best description for her because she's kind of just a third party. She's playing both sides for reasons unknown. We know she has ties to Edgar, but we also know that she's kind of not necessarily for superheroes. So it's hard to tell what side she's on. She's a very interesting anti-hero for the fact that she can also just kill everybody if she wanted to. She has that superpower. As well as the other Gen V characters who might be in the play, I'm interested. But I'm also interested in the boys. What are they going to do now after their failed attempt to kill Homelander? What is Butcher going to do with the fact that he's about to die, potentially die, because he's taken too much... Forget what the Gen V, the serum that gives them superpowers. Are the boys also going to keep taking superpowers? Are they going to level up a little bit? Starlight, she is now part of the boys. How is that going to work? And how are they going to grow to face this overwhelming conflict that is superheroes? As well as, like, the Deep. The Deep is, like, one of those characters. He's such a, like, an asshole right away, but you start to like him. He's kind of like Jaime Lannister in that way that, like, you kind of just feel sorry for him, and he's starting to, like, become a better person, and he's getting more interesting. As well as A-Train, too. Just his development and all of this. He's still a piece of shit, but, like, he's an interesting piece of shit. Queen May. Is she in this at all? Is she a part of this? Is she just done? Soldier Boy himself, is he going to get back into it? Or what other new characters are they going to bring into the table that changes the outlook of season 4? I don't know. On top of the fact of, like, the narrative pacing, like, after I'm rewatching season 1 now, and the pace is just so quick, and it slows down a little bit in season 2 in a way, but not quite. It also is quick, but season 3 is so intense. There's so many intense situations in season 3, and it's just a fun watch. And I'm sitting there, I know that they have a bunch of, like, narrative juicy shit to go through for season 4, but I'm also like, how are they going to match the first 3 seasons? And I know how they're going to, but it's just hard to imagine a show just being this intense for so long, for this many seasons, without falling apart. But the boys are doing it. They have the ammo, they have the storylines, and I am here for it. I'm excited. We are 3 weeks away from the boys, and I don't want to wait much more. And I kind of hate that all these shows are together, because individually, I want to talk about all these shows, right? I want to talk about the Acolyte more. I want to get into it more. I want to get into the House of Dragons that comes out later in June. I believe it's June. It could be July, too. And then boys is smack dab in the middle of them. And I'll be honest, between the boys, Acolyte, and House of Dragons, I don't give a shit about the other two because the boys are that good. Like, that's what I'm into. And I feel bad because, like, Acolyte and the boys are coming out at the same time. I'm like, Disney, you are making a bad choice here, because people who like Acolyte will also like the boys, and the boys are just, like Acolyte has to step up its game because that's going to be the comparison. And I'm going to be doing weekly for the boys. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing weekly. If anything, it's going to be bi-weekly every couple episodes. It's going to be hard to do with the boys and Acolyte at the same time. We will see how it goes. I think I'm going to do the preview, the premiere for the Acolyte, and then get into the boys afterwards and then kind of come back to Acolyte. But we will see. Because, yeah, the boys is my number one on this list. I might get more hyped for Deadpool and Wolverine as we get into July when that comes out. But the boys are, it's too good. Like, that's my Game of Thrones. That's my Breaking Bad here. Like, I think the boys, we need to hype the show up. Because the show is amazing. It is good. Please check it out. Because this is what superhero shows should be. This is what the culture should be. It's just amazing television that really feels like an amazing movie. And that's what The Boys is. So The Boys is my number one. So just to review it, number five on my list is Borderlands. Excited for it. Excited for to see if this movie is going to be great, if it's going to be a financial success, and if it can carry through this idea that video game adaptations are here to stay. And it's going to, like, more, if it's a success, more movie studios are going to want to get more adaptations. And what does that mean for the industry moving forward? Number four is The Acolyte, Star Wars. It's the sixth TV show for Star Wars. I feel like the quantity really lowers the hype for The Acolyte itself. It's also just a brand new story, brand new era. But it does have a cool premise. It is fresh. It is a whole open sandbox for this showrunner to work through. This movie has potential to be great. And honestly, maybe put Star Wars back on the map of relevancy. If this show can be great, I think it also has the chance to be appealing. Andor was elite, but it wasn't, like, appealing, if that makes sense. I keep saying great. It's an amazing show. It is an elite show. It's one of the best shows recently. In the last 5 years, Andor is at least in the top five, if not the top three of shows. If The Acolyte can at least be a great, like Mandalorian great, I think it has a chance to kind of take the world by storm again, like The Mandalorian did. House of Dragons is number three. Very much reminds me of Game of Thrones, because, I mean, obviously it's based off Game of Thrones. Will it take the same magic and, like, will it take over the culture again like Game of Thrones? I don't know. We will see. It has to be great. I think it really has to land this season. And it seems narratively and, like, effects-wise, it's there. But we'll see how the writing goes. Season one, I think, was a great show. Like, House of Dragons is a great show. Season one was great. But that was all table setting. This is the real story. If season two can deliver, I think House of Dragons has the potential to be Game of Thrones. Or at least, like, lower tier. Like, Better Call Saul to Breaking Bad, at least. But I really hope this can maybe take over that Game of Thrones magic. Number two I have is Deadpool and Wolverine, as I said before. It's up there. Man, I'm hyped for this movie. It could save Marvel. It can destroy Marvel. There's so much riding on this movie. It could be a very small scale, like, universe gathering movie, or it could be very large scale. I don't know. I don't want to overhype this movie.